everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This is a pretty special episode. For the first time ever, I have an international guest on via the magic of Skype. I'm talking to someone who is not only in a complete other country, she exists in the future. She's actually she's on Wednesday. I'm still stuck on Tuesday. So we're going to be talking about what it takes to be a professional artist. And I want to stress that word professional, because she recently kind of made a statement, which I thought made a lot of sense. But we were talking before we started recording about how maybe it ruffled some feathers. And I was telling her, you know, I think that's a good thing. These are things that people need to hear. Sometimes you have to take the kid gloves off and realize that, you know, in order to be a grown up and reach the goals you want to reach, you need to be a professional, and there's things that go into that. So I'm going to let her talk more about that in a little bit. But first I want to say
welcome
to Connie Valentina. So Connie, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I'm sure a lot of our listeners aren't familiar, being that you're an Australian artist. So why don't you give us a quick little introduction, what you do, what you're all about, what work they may have seen that you've done.
Sure. Well, I started out really as a gallery artist here in Australia, and then I started to work in the publishing arena and the science fiction publishing arena. So I was doing a lot of science fiction novel covers and interiors, and so that really has been my background. And I even did a stint in art gallery work and curating for a while. And then I decided to sort of take the leap and see if I could finger paint full time and make some sort of miserable living out of it. And yeah, just I seem to have sort of gotten ass backwards into it and had a little bit of success with it.
Now, did you grow up reading comics, or was it more about the art for you?
No, it was always about the art. It took getting married to an actual comic book guy who has his own comic book store. And I happened to be in that store looking for art books rather than comics. And he sort of introduced me, he really introduced me into the world of comics. And through his love and passion of it, you know, now it was kind of like osmosis. There was no way to escape it. I'm now deep in it, and I'm bagging and boarding comic books every week, and it's pretty fun. It's an amazing life.
So did you go to school for art? Did you go to art school?
No, I didn't. I tried actually. I did a 3-month stint in art school, and it was very, very much like Art School Confidential. If anyone hasn't seen that movie, I suggest you go out and see it and laugh at pretentious artists and how they feel about themselves in this world. It was really like that. It was there. It was pretentious. It felt like it was a form of trying to squash any sort of individuality. And I realized that if I stayed, that I would lose my style completely. So after 3 months, I decided to say goodbye and do it myself. But I'm self-taught. I started at the age of 9 and worked every day from that age. People are always surprised when I say that. And I said, no, I was incredibly tenacious. I knew from the age of 9, this is what I wanted to do. And much to the dismay of my family, I stuck to it.
Well, I think that hearing that background, it makes even more sense to me now that you came out and said what you said. Yeah. you're both with your tenacity and your desire not to lose your individuality, but also that you wouldn't ever let an artist use the excuse, well, I didn't get it, you know, oh, they're an artist, so that, you know, give them some leeway or cut them some slack or whatever. I mean, when it comes to, you know, your word and your integrity, there shouldn't be an excuse, right?
Absolutely not. It's a job. The fact of the matter is that, you know, most people have a 9-to-5 job or whatever hours that they keep, and they know they have to get up in the morning or in the evening and go to their job and stay there until they've finished and clock off. That's just the way it is. So for an artist to feel like they are somehow above that, or they can escape that and still be a professional artist, it baffles me. It can't be done. You have to behave professionally in order to be a professional.
And so let's say I'm an artist that wants to quit the 9-to-5 grind and become a professional artist and make my living off of my creative endeavors. How do you think I become a professional? Like what are the qualities? What does it take other than the dedication, obviously, and working on my craft every day? What's the more practical side of it?
In all honesty, it all begins with practice. You set yourself your hours. And this is something that I say to up-and-coming artists all the time who say, you know, how do I get better at this? How do I improve? It's really about putting in long hours every day. So you're practicing your craft every day, whether you have a paid job that's coming your way or not. So, A, you're practicing your craft no matter what. And you stick to at least 8 hours a day. You're also, as a freelance artist, then having to go out there and chase work. Now, that is outside the hours that you're putting in to your craft. So your hours are now extending. And you also have to then respond to any emails that are coming through because, as a professional, you have to respond to any client that's coming in and inquiring about work. So you're, and then on top of that, you have to learn how to, something very basic, but I can't believe how often I have to tell this to artists. You have to work out how to pack your art properly and then mail it out to the client and ensure that it gets there to them safe and sound. So you are all of these things. You're having to be your own personal assistant. You're having to be the person that is doing all the advertising. You're having to be the secretary. You're having to be the packer. You have to do all of those things along with practicing and working on your craft and refining it constantly every day. So it's, you know, when somebody thinks about and romanticizes the idea of becoming an artist, they have to understand that it's not just doing the artwork, it's everything else. Otherwise, you're not going to really get anywhere unless, you know, you're fortunate enough to have, say, a wife or a husband or a friend or an agent who can then do all that, you know, stuff for you that gets in the way of the art. But if you're not lucky enough to have that, then you have to be all those things.
So I think what you're saying is that it requires the dedication to the craft, but also dedication of time and effort to be able to do everything that needs to be done in order to come across as a professional so that when someone contacts you, they have a good experience, they like your work.
Absolutely.
And they're going to, you know, repeat customers and establishing a reputation for being dependable and being on time and doing things the right way.
Absolutely. I mean, you would be surprised at how much that counts, how much that goes towards your success as an artist. Being likable, being somebody that people can depend on, knowing that your word means something. When you say, this is when I'm going to finish the project. Now, a lot of artists take money up front. Some artists take 50% up front. Some artists don't take any money up front at all. Depending on who you are in that scale will depend on what you need to do. If you're taking money up front, you have to keep your client informed all the time as to where you are, what you're up to, whether you need to put it to the side for another project. All those things count in having a really great experience, not just for the artist, but for the client, who is unbelievably important in this process. If you don't have clients, you're not a professional artist. That's what it comes down to. So you have to be somebody who is dependable and likable. Otherwise, they're going to go to somebody else because great artists are everywhere. It's going to be incredibly difficult for somebody to stand out and somehow be a really special petunia that is better than everybody else. There's always somebody better than you. So you have to make sure you give more than just the art. You give great service.
Yeah, and it seems like you have to really want it. So you have to be hungry because it does take a lot of dedication and a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And if you don't do it the right way, there's another generation coming up behind you, right?
Always. Oh, my gosh. And the people, you know, behind us are so amazing. You know, I was talking to somebody not that long ago, a young artist, actually. He's only in his mid-20s, and I was saying, geez, I can't believe how great you are. Like, you know, at your age, you know, if I were to compare my work to yours, I feel like an absolute amateur, and yet I had already put in at least 10 years of my life trying to get there. And, you know, he said something that was, you know, rather poignant, and that was that, you know, I'm 45 years old, so I didn't have the internet. I barely had any art books or reference. The only reference I had were from the masters, you know, the Salvador Dali, for instance, for myself, and Fragonard, and those guys were the people who were inspiring me, because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Google. We didn't have anything like that at our disposal. But these younger kids now coming up, they've got references out there and inspiration out there. They can learn so much quicker than we ever could. So they are getting way better. So we have to make sure that we're upping our game all the time, because the younger guys are incredible because of all that information that's out there.
Yeah, it's something that I've had other artists and really, I mean, even Mark Silvestri, for one, not just an artist, but, you know, the guy has his own company. Him and Mark Brooks is another one that springs to mind. Both of them, I've talked to them at length before about this younger generation and the tools they have, and how it is very much an advantage that they have, all this reference and everything is out there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But at the same time, with the way the internet has kind of shrunk the world, and with the things you're allowed to do now, they have even less excuse. Like, if you want to be an artist, a professional artist, or a comic book artist, and make your living doing comic book art, you have less excuse now than you've ever had before. It's so easy to self-publish, to get your work out there, to be seen. You know, there's no excuses to not be professional.
No, that's very true.
We've talked about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It's sheer laziness at this point. If you start to complain about how you just, you know, you're not able to get your stuff out there, you're definitely not trying hard enough, because it's never been easier. I wish I had this at my disposal 20 years ago. But back then, you know, I was physically having to knock on gallery doors and physically having to knock on publishers' doors. It wasn't easy.
Now, what are some of the other common mistakes people make when they're starting out that we haven't touched on necessarily? So beyond maybe just not being dedicated enough or following through, what are some of the other mistakes that you think people make when they're first trying to get their foot in the door, so to speak?
Well, I think it's just priorities. Some people seem to think that they can get in without really simple basic knowledge, and that is, first of all, work out what kind of artist you want to be, and then you have to work out technically how to get there. And simple things like learning about anatomy, it's so simple. And yet I'm watching a lot of artists not doing that. You know, go to life drawing classes. I can't stress that enough. Even if you want to be, you know, a very stylized kind of artist who does very surreal almost and stretched reality, you still have to know your basic anatomy. And I've said this to a lot of people when they say, yeah, but, you know, there are abstract artists and surrealists and all those people who don't need to have that technical ability. But, you know, Picasso was an unbelievable figure artist before he created this abstract movement. He had all that knowledge behind him before he did that. That's what made him who he was. If he didn't have that other knowledge, then I don't believe he would have been Picasso. So it's something simple like that. Go and make sure that no matter what kind of artist you're going to be, if you're drawing bodies, get some technical ability behind you. Do figure study. Go to life drawing classes. Do it over and over and over again until you're bored to death of it.
I love the things that you say, Connie, because what I'm hearing from you, and again, it's kind of, you know, people tend to have that romantic idea of what it is to be an artist, and you know, I can do a painting a month or a painting every 2 months, and I'll, you know, sell it for thousands of dollars, And, you know, there's that romantic idea like that. of being a starving artist, and, you know, there's something, you know, to that kind of thing. But everything I'm hearing you say, it's like you have to treat it like a regular job. You need the basics. You need the training. You need to be dedicated. You need to show up to work every day. And even if that means the little corner of your studio apartment where you have your drawing table set up, and make sure you're there for 8 hours a day. I mean, these are the things that it takes. Quit thinking of being an artist as some, you know, French guy sipping wine and being depressed all the time.
It's not. It's so romanticized. It's overly romanticized. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love, 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 love what I do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, because the pay is crap. So you have to love it. But at the same time, don't romanticize it. You know, unless you have, I don't know, some sort of fabulous inheritance that you can rely on, and therefore you don't have to rely on being a professional, then absolutely get that bottle of wine and put on your French music and, you know, enjoy yourself. But otherwise, if you don't have that to fall back on, it's like any other job. You have to be a professional, and you have to know that there are 20 other guys behind you who are way better than you are. And they're going to get your job if you're not a professional. Simple as that.
So let's say I'm an artist and I've set my schedule. I'm working on my fundamentals, and I feel like I'm ready to take that next step. I'm starting to feel out work. What's the best way to network? What's the best way to kind of start to get my foot in the door to look for work, and not necessarily in comics, but just to be a working artist, to be able to, you know, stop going down to the local, you know, convenience store and working as a cashier. I'm ready to take the next step. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I meet people? How do I start looking?
That's like the million-dollar question, and there's no right answer or wrong answer, really. It's you can't be shy. You have to be okay with knocking on lots and lots of doors. These days, actually, it's way easier, particularly for comic artists, because you have convention circuits. So I have seen that really has been a boon for anybody who wants to break into comics, because all the publishers are there, great artists are there. You go in and you can network your butt off, and it really feels almost like this incredible shortcut that has been created for people, something, again, that I did not have. Back when I was trying to break in, I had to get on a bus. First of all, you know, go through a phone book and see where all the galleries were, get on a bus, take my portfolio and show them, and, you know, have at least 10 of them say, no, your work is crap, and go to the next one. And so that was the way we were breaking in back then. Now it is actually a lot easier to network. Now you can do the convention circuit. Go and meet all your idols. Go show your portfolios to anyone who will see your portfolio, and make friends with as many people as possible. And I tell you what, be nice. That is the key thing. Be nice. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that you are somehow better than anybody else, and behave like a rock star. It's going to get you nowhere. If you're not likable, you're not going to get the work, and nobody's going to open the door for you. So, yeah, practice your personal skills. Be sociable. Learn how to do that. That's actually incredibly important.
What about networking online, like social networks, DeviantArt, sites like that? Are they helpful, or have they kind of...
I see that they are helpful for some people. It wasn't helpful for me. I had a Deviant account, and really I found that it was loads more trouble than it was worth. But then again, I've heard from other people saying that it was just one of the best steps they made. So I think it really just it's dependent, you know, person to person, what kind of art you're doing. And, you know, you can get really lucky and have one of your works become one of the, you know, daily deviant art pieces that gets shown, and then you really do pick up steam and suddenly you have thousands upon thousands of people following you. I was never lucky enough to get one of those. So, you know, I was always kind of swimming against the tide on that site. But I know lots of guys like, I believe Stanley Lau started out on DeviantArt, and look at him. He's, you know, not only an incredible artist, but he needed a little bit more than that, and he needed to be discovered, and I think that was his platform. So I think try anything. In the end, try anything. Some people are saying to me that Instagram is just key. You know, they were really floundering until they put their work out there on Instagram. Some people find Facebook really helpful. Everyone has their platform that they end up finding, but I would say try all of them until you find the one that works for you.
Whatever can get the most eyeballs on your work, right?
That's absolutely, absolutely. And again, this is what I'm saying, what I was saying before. It's not just about the artwork you're doing. You have to do it all. You have to advertise yourself wherever you can think there are going to be a set of eyes, and eventually somebody will see you.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about Connie's work so we can get more eyeballs on what you have.
My finger paintings. Okay.
what are you currently working on? Where can we find your work?
Well, actually, I just finished another series of Cave Woman covers for Amaryl Entertainment. I tend to really work more on personal work these days, which has been wonderful. So I'm kind of my own boss now, and I'm deciding on what I want to do. And that has just really worked for me. I've been delving more and more into portrait art, pinup art, movie poster art, and that's kind of where my passion is leading me now, because I've done all that other stuff and I've done all the hard yards, and I'm finally enjoying doing what I love to do. But yeah, I'm still doing Cave Woman, and I do enjoy, you know, being under the pump and having to do certain things, you know, at a certain time. But for the most part, I'm indulging in my own personal work, and it's been wonderful.
So you say personal work, is that for your own, that you're keeping?
No, it all sells. I mean, you know, I okay. Basically personal work as in nobody told me exactly what I needed to do. Okay. So I'm able to be free and do what I feel like doing. And then the work just sells online. But it took me quite some time to be able to get to that place where I could do that, have the freedom to do that, and have the freedom to say, no, I don't really want to do commissions per se, because I like the freedom of being able to create what I want to create and then see how the fans react to it and how the clients like it, how my patrons like it. So
great. So let's say that some of our listeners are learning about you for the first time. Where can they go to see some of this work and have an opportunity to purchase something?
For the most part these days, I'm mainly on Facebook. I was very tenacious again in that department, trying out every forum that I could, and I found that Facebook worked the best for me. Again, it doesn't work for everybody, but that seems to be the place where people found me and have been incredibly, incredibly supportive, really, really lovely. I'm a bit gobsmacked, actually, at how good Facebook has been for me. Before that, it did feel like it was a bit of a struggle, but another fellow artist who I admire greatly, you know, sort of convinced me, sent me emails a few times saying to me, come on, you have to pull the plug and, you know, go do it. I know you don't want to, but go do it. And he was right. It was amazing. So I had to stop being shy about that and put myself out there.
Great. And so that Facebook page is Connie Valentina's Artwork, correct?
That's the one. Yeah,
so
that's the
one. So if any of you listeners want to see Connie's amazing art, and I very much encourage you to go and take a look, because it is gorgeous. Yeah, just do a search on Facebook for Connie Valentina's Artwork. So Connie,
I really
want to thank you. I think you have a very solid head on your shoulders. I would urge any of our listeners who have more questions to get in touch with Connie through her Facebook page. She's very generous with her time. She'll give you any advice. She's not going to pull any punches. She'll tell it to you straight. One of the things I love about the things that this woman says. So again, Connie, really appreciate it. I think it's a lot of good advice for artists and maybe a wake-up call for some, and maybe a much needed one.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure. And yeah, I wish everybody out there the greatest of success. Just work at it. Be patient, work at it. you'll get there. It's really that simple. Just keep working at it.
Yep. Hard work pays off. Hard work and dedication.
It really does. Yeah, it really, really does.
Great. Well, thanks again for listening, everybody. If you want to follow along with The Comic Source, go to thecomicsourceblog.com. You can find all past episodes of our podcast there. You can also find past episodes of our YouTube channel, as well as Manny's written blog, my written blog, and the famous sketch gallery. If you want to keep up to date whenever we release new episodes, just follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. We're on Facebook as well. Do a search for The Comic Source there. And also Instagram. Instagram's a great way to see when we're at conventions. I always take pictures with the creators I'm interviewing, post them up on there. So we appreciate all the support on social media. It really helps us out. So once again, thanks to Connie for joining me, and thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.